Okay, this week's parasha is Parashas Ekev. We begin on page 980. Okay. This is Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud Beis. V'haya Ekev Tishma'un Eis HaMishpatim Ha'ela. And it shall be Ekev Tishma'un. What does that word Ekev mean? So according to the Art Scroll, they translated it as this shall be the reward. V'haya Ekev Tishma'un. And it shall be a result of your listening. A result of your listening to these laws. And you'll guard them, v'shmartem asisem v'isam, and you shall guard and do them. V'shamar Hashem elokecha l'cha, Hashem shall guard for you, es habris ves hachesed, the covenant and the kindness, asher nishba l'avisecha, that he swore to your forefathers. So, as we said, the word ekev, tishma'un, we translate the word ekev as because, or as a result, a reward, a result of your listening will be for listening to these laws will be that Hashem will guard for you the covenant and the kindness. So the way we're translated Ekev is, Ekev means, the Art Scroll says, reward, as a result of your listening. Rashi, citing the Medrash, tells us that Ekev is teaching us the following. The first Rashi, Ima mitzvah ha'kalei she'adam osh ba'akevav tishma'un. If you will listen to the commandments that, to mitzvah ha'kalei, to the lighter mitzvahs, that people trample upon with their heels, if those mitzvahs you will listen to. Rashi says the word Ekev here should be translated as another translation of the word Ekev, which is a heel, right? The heel is called the Ekev. And therefore, Rashi says, based on the Medrash, that Ekev Tishmun means, and it shall be when you will listen to the mitzvahs that people trample on with their heels. It's a figurative way of saying mitzvahs that people take light. And the Pasuk is saying, according to Rashi, that whatever way you're going to perceive that there are mitzvahs that are more serious or stringent, and other mitzvahs that people take them lightly, you're not going to be considered listening to the mitzvahs if all you do are the ones that are what you perceive as the serious ones. You have to perform all the mitzvahs, and even if you see that people are taking certain mitzvahs lightly, the figurative way of saying that is dashba kevav, trampling with their heel. Those are the mitzvahs you got to make. You can't take them. Just because people are taking them lightly, you can't take them lightly. And if you want that Hashem should guard the covenant of the kindness for your performance of the mitzvahs, it's got to be the performance of all the mitzvahs. Got to be the performance of all the mitzvahs. Now, the commentary of Sibse Chachamim tells us that Rashi brought in this medrash to interpret the pasuk. Because if the point of the pasuk was basically to say that as a result of your listening to the mitzvahs, Hashem will guard his covenant, do kindness with you, then the way the pasuk really should have read was, like we say in Shema, in the second paragraph of Shema. The second paragraph of Shema we say, V'haya im shemaya tishmua mitzvah isai, shere neichim et sabay etzchem ayyim, v'yahavos Hashem aloikeichem, lov de b'chalavah v'chol nafshechem, v'nasati mitar aritzechem. The pasuk says, and it shall be, it shall be, if you listen to my mitzvahs, or when you listen to my mitzvahs, then Hashem says, I'll give you the rain. So the way that the pasuk, if the pasuk was just trying to talk about the result of your listening to mitzvahs will be that Hashem will guard his covenant and do kindness with you, then the way that should have been said was not using the word ekev, but rather the word im. And it shall be if you will listen, or when you will listen. Why did the Torah decide to use this interesting word ekev? The answer is based on the Medrash that's coming to allude to another idea. To the idea that if you listen to Ekev Tishmun, if you listen to the heel mitzvahs, if you listen to the mitzvahs that people figuratively trample with their feet, with their heels, that means those mitzvahs that are taken lightly, if you want to be able for Hashem to guard his covenant and his kindness with you, you've got to make sure to do all the mitzvahs and not be influenced by the fact that people consider certain mitzvahs light and don't take them seriously. Now, what exactly does it mean that people, like, what's the way of, how do we understand this perception that people may have that certain mitzvahs are serious. And those are the mitzvahs that they focus on. And other mitzvahs are considered kalis, are considered light, not so serious. What's the measuring stick? I mean, this is not a correct measuring stick, it's a mistake. But what's this kind of perception based on? So the Das Kanim about Tosfos again quotes this medrash as Rashi does. It's not in it. Okay, it's not in there. The Das Kanim basically says that there are mitzvahs that people perceive as more chumer, more serious, because there's a lot involved. There's a lot involved in them. Shabbos. There's a lot involved in Shabbos. The Torah talks about Shabbos. How many times does it repeat and review and repeat the fact we have to keep Shabbos? There's a lot involved in Shabbos. And there's a lot that Torah talks about Shabbos. So we look at Shabbos as something serious. Pesach, right? Big job, Pesach. There's a lot involved in Pesach. So people tend to think that something that has a lot of work involved in it, that is the more serious mitzvah. That's the mitzvah that's going to carry the greater reward for doing it. I mean, we do know there's a reward. There is a principle. The more involved, the harder it is to do a mitzvah, the greater the reward. And therefore, people take those mitzvahs serious. Then there are mitzvahs that people don't take as serious. So for instance, one example that is brought in this Das Kanim is tzitzis. Tzitzis. Big deal. Take a garment, put some tzitzis on the edges, not a big deal. Or you got to learn how to twist it, how to do this, but yeah, it's not the biggest deal. Not the biggest deal in the world. And you wear it. It's a very simple mitzvah. You know? Not a lot involved in that. Then you have the mitzvahs that people trample upon because they're very inconvenient, like Lashon Hara. You know, people like to talk, and people don't want to be held back from what they want to say.
That's number one.
Okay, and therefore you have those mitzvahs that people trample upon because of the fact that people kind of don't really want to. It becomes much of a bother to do. So, but again, you've got those mitzvahs that people take serious because they see that because these mitzvahs have a lot involved in them, there's more reward for them, and the ones that are easy, no big deal, don't have so much reward. And we know there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, "Hevizar b'mitzvah kal kavachamura." Be careful with a light mitzvah as you would with a serious mitzvah. Why? She'ein ato yadea matan scharen shel mitzvahs, because nobody knows the reward for mitzvahs. And the example the Das Kanim brings is that take two mitzvahs. That the Torah actually, there are two mitzvahs that we find the Torah actually mentioning reward about. One of them is the mitzvah that's called Shiluah HaKein. That's the mitzvah you find the bird's nest, and the mother is there by the eggs. You have a mitzvah, send away the mother, keep the eggs. Okay? The Das Kanim says, you know, besides the fact that you got to get a ladder to get up there and do it, and you need to know some of it, you also have to know the laws involved. Not major. You know, you could kind of wake up one morning, open your window, and there's a bird's nest right there, and it can be done in very quick, you know? Nowadays, you've got people that, you know, professionals that, you know, for a fee, they'll find you a nest to do mitzvah shluach hakan on because the mitzvah shluach hakan has a lot of skulis to it, has a lot of special power to it. It creates many schusim based on mystical concepts. But shluach hakan is not really, you know, you wouldn't look at it as one of the major mitzvahs. Another mitzvah that is not an easy mitzvah to do, and people clearly understand the importance of that mitzvah, is the mitzvah of kibud av v'em, honoring your father and your mother. Clearly understood as a very important mitzvah, and also not a very easy mitzvah to do. Not an easy mitzvah to do. Okay? By both of them, the Torah tells us, l'man yitav lach l'arach t'yamim. The Torah tells us that when you do this mitzvah, Hashem will do good with you and you'll have lengthy days. These two mitzvahs are the two mitzvahs where the Torah mentions reward. And it comes out that you've got two mitzvahs. One people would perceive as the light mitzvah. One mitzvah that people could perceive as the serious mitzvah. And they both have the same reward. So therefore, the Mishnah says, you have to be careful with every mitzvah, because if you're basing your performance of the mitzvahs on what you perceive as the greater reward to it, you don't really know which has the greater reward. Because look at the example. Look at the examples of Shiluach HaKain, sending away the mother from the bird's nest, and honoring your parents. One clearly is not as difficult as the other, not as involved as the other. And the Torah says the same reward. And therefore, based on that, no one should ever go ahead and decide this mitzvah is more important, that mitzvah is less important, this mitzvah it has more reward, that mitzvah has less reward, because you don't know the reward of mitzvahs. You don't know. But it's interesting is also that the Das Kanan brings a mashal, a parable, which the commentator Rabbeinu Yoina brings also in Pirkei Avos, which, to be honest, doesn't sound exactly like this concept, but it definitely brings out at least another understanding of why we have to be careful with all mitzvahs. And the mashal is, there was a king who wanted to plant an orchard. And in the orchard, he arranged, you know, his orders were that different types of trees were to be planted. You know, you have to have apple trees, and you have to have grapevines, and you have to have, you know, some grass, some bushes. You know, there had to be an assortment of different trees in order for the orchard to be complete. And when the king got people involved to do it, he didn't tell them which one you get paid for more. Didn't tell them that. Because he knew that if he would tell them that for the cedar, right, you get the most money, and for the little bush, you get less money, then everybody's going to run around planting cedar trees. And the orchard will be incomplete. The orchard can't just have cedar trees, it's got to have everything. That is the mashal that's given, the parable that's given, to understand this concept. You don't know the reward for mitzvahs, but what this mashal seems to be saying is that, in essence, it could very well be that there are some mitzvahs that carry greater reward than others. Possible. Okay, you don't know which ones are which, right? So from that angle, you know, you can't really take a chance of one over the other. But there's another angle in which that says that, yeah, it's possible that there are those who carry greater reward than the others, but Hashem has his reason that he needs all these mitzvahs. All these mitzvahs are needed. The Ribbono Shel Olam created his world, and the Ribbono Shel Olam created this world, and this world needs its tikkunim. It needs its rectification. It needs certain things to be done to bring it to its perfection. And only Hashem knows why, which things need to be done. But there are a variety of things that need to be done. And they need to be done for the world to come to its perfection. And because the world needs this variety of mitzvahs to be done, it doesn't really matter which one, it shouldn't be important which one carries greater reward or not. The point should be is that Hashem has this arrangement, this assortment of mitzvahs that need to be done to perfect the world, and therefore we do them all for that. We should be doing them all for that point. You don't know the reward of mitzvahs. Is it possible that one has more than the other? Maybe. Or coming again from the other angle, do you know which one is more important? Which one carries greater reward? You don't know. You might think the cedar tree has greater reward. But you don't know that maybe that simpler tree, because of the way that it needs to be positioned, where it needs to be put, maybe for some reason it even has harder work involved with it. You don't know exactly what the reward is going to be. But the point is also is that the 613 mitzvahs and all the mitzvahs that we do, the Ribbono Shel Olam has us doing them because the world needs to be brought to perfection. And it doesn't matter which one carries a greater reward or not. The point is that especially if we're to serve Hashem out of love, and we want to serve Him because we love Him, then we do all the mitzvahs because of the fact that there is Hashem's plan that the world to come to its perfection needs all these different mitzvahs to be done. So you've got this idea that people look at mitzvahs, these are more serious, these are lighter, these carry greater reward, less reward, this one is more important, this one is less important. The point, and because of that, people take certain mitzvahs lightly. And therefore, the Pasuk says, if you want Hashem to guard for you His covenant and His kindness, you have to keep the mitzvahs, you have to keep all the mitzvahs. You got to make sure to keep all the mitzvahs, even the ones that people tread on lightly. The Das Kinnah brings down a Medrash HaDavid HaMelech said, I am not concerned about the mitzvahs chamuras. I am not concerned about the serious mitzvahs. I'm not concerned about doing them. I for sure did them. I'm concerned, said David HaMelech, that perhaps the mitzvahs that people tread upon, those ones I didn't do. Meaning because people have this perception and people act this way towards the mitzvahs, David HaMelech was afraid that maybe to some degree he's treating those mitzvahs lightly also. And that at the end is what he's going to be punished for. The Torah here is exhorting us that we have to make sure not to allow the perception of people that certain mitzvahs aren't take lightly to influence us, but rather every mitzvah has to be done in a complete manner, in a full-hearted manner, and then Hashem says that Hashem will guard for you the kindness, the covenant, and the kindness that He promised to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now, the Kli Yakar has another, it's another interpretation of what it means, the mitzvahs kalis, the lighter mitzvahs that people trample upon. And he actually says that that is, the mitzvahs kalis are referring to he says that actually it's referring to chukim. All chukim. We have mitzvahs, we have chukim and mishpatim. We have the mitzvahs that we understand the reason for them, and we have the chukim, the mitzvahs that people don't understand. He learns that when Rashi brings this medrash about the mitzvahs that people trample upon, he is saying the mitzvahs people trample upon are the chukim. Because since they don't understand the reason for it, they don't understand the benefit, they don't understand the purpose of it, they don't take it serious. And he actually uses this to answer a different question. That is, if you turn back to the end of last week's parsha, turn back to page 978. And you take a look at the very last pasuk, the very last verse, pasuk Yud Aleph. The pasuk says, "V'shamartu es ha-mitzvah v'sachukim v'samishpatim." You shall guard the mitzvah, the chukim, and the mishpatim. It says both. The chukim are the mitzvahs, the laws that we don't understand the reason for. Mishpatim are the laws we do understand the reason for. So the end of last week's parasha, pasuk Yud Aleph, says, "And you will guard the mitzvah, which are the chukim, the laws that we don't understand, the mishpatim, laws that we do understand, asher neichem etzavach hayem la'aseisim, that I'm commanding you today to do them." Okay? Now, pasuk Kubei is the very next pasuk that talks about that v'hoya ekev tishmu'un, that because you will listen, as a result for listening, to the mishpatim, Hashem will guard the bris and the chesed, the kindness and the covenant. No mention of chukim. How come in this pasuk it only mentions the mishpatim? So the Kli Yakar says that is what this medrash that Rashi's bringing down means to point out. You know where the chukim are mentioned? In the word akev. Because since the word akev means word means heal, and the pasuk means to say vaya akev tishmun, when you will listen to the mitzvahs that people trample on. What are those mitzvahs that people trample upon? Says the Kli Yakar. It's the chukim. Because people don't understand them, people don't understand the purpose of them, and don't take them seriously. So vaya ekev tishmu'un. It shall be when you will listen to the ekev, to the mitzvahs that people tremble at their heel. Eis ha-mishpatim, he learns, not the mishpatim, but rather the word here, eis, means with. Vaya ekev tishmu'un. When you will listen to the mitzvahs that people trample upon. Eis ha-mishpatim ha'ela. Together with, es here means im, with. These laws that we do understand, Hashem will guard for you the kindness and the covenant and the covenant and the kindness. So we've got a number of ways of looking at what it means, Ekev Tishmu'un, that Rashi says mitzvahs that people trample upon. It means the Kli Yakar says it means the chukim, because since people don't appreciate them, don't understand them, they don't take them serious. Another way of looking at the ones that people perceive as more serious, less serious, are the ones that people think have more reward and less reward. And then we spoke about times, then we spoke about example of Lashon Hara, that people don't take it seriously because, again, it's not always not convenient. And then sometimes there are mitzvahs that people trample upon because, again, it's just, you know, we just don't bother ourselves or we don't care enough. There are some very important mitzvahs out there that need to be done, but people don't really think about it because they don't have the sensitivity or the care enough for it. And they kind of let it go. So I saw a very beautiful story to bring out this idea, an example of a great person who was careful about a mitzvah that people tread upon, a mitzvah that people they don't always catch it. They're not always sensitive to it, and they kind of just let it pass without being sensitive enough. So this story I saw with a Rav Tam Zatzal, and the story was that Rav Tam was Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Tar Vadas, and he was a very well-known Rosh Yeshiva, a very important communal leader of the Jewish people. And the story goes that it was the day of a boy's bar mitzvah, and the parents brought their son in. It doesn't even seem like Rav Tam knew these people, but these people came into Tar Vadas. They came over to Rav Tam, and they said, "You know, today is our son's bar mitzvah. You know, or maybe it was the first day of putting on tefillin. I'm not sure about the detail. You know, we thought it would be very nice if he could put tefillin on in front of the Rosh Yeshiva and daven next to the Rosh Yeshiva, because Rav Tam didn't sit up front. He just had a seat amongst everyone." So even though Rav Tam didn't know these people, you know, Rav Tam was a caring person. Of course, he agreed. So the boy put on tefillin in front of Rav Tam, and Rav Tam sat him down next to him. Rav Tam was about to start davening when he called over one of the students in the yeshiva, and he said, "The boy's mother is standing out in the hall. Please tell her that if she wants to be able to watch her son daven on his bar mitzvah day, she can go into my office and look out the window I have in my office into the base reddish, and she can watch her son davening on his bar mitzvah." So there you have a person, right, who paid attention to a small detail. Right? Small detail, small thing. You know, a lot of people just don't think about it. Yeah, you want to come in and sit next to me? Fine. Yeah, you could sit down, fine. And it's time to daven. You got to go davening. Rav Tam went that extra step. He had that extra sensitivity to care about the mother's feeling and give her more pride on the day of her son's bar mitzvah. It's also an example of mitzvahs that people take lightly because they seem so minute and so little. Because, you know, all right, let her watch. She will watch. I mean, you know, you just don't necessarily have that sensitivity or pay attention to that kind of detail or focus on these kind of little things. And the truth is that true great people, their greatness was measured by the small things that they did. The fact that they paid attention to every little thing, not just the big things that they did, but the fact that they paid attention to the little kindnesses, simple little kindnesses to people that we tend not to make a big fuss of, but he knew how important they were to people. And that's also an example of listening to, of following the mitzvahs that people tread upon. Tread upon in this context means, again, people just don't think about it. People just don't focus on it. People don't give it enough importance. Don't give enough importance to some of the to small deeds, to small acts. And Rav Tam was that great person, as we see in this story, that was focusing on all the mitzvahs, even the mitzvahs people take light, even the mitzvahs that people ignore, because every mitzvah matters. Every mitzvah matters, and greatness is often measured by the small deeds that are done, and not just by the great big deeds that are done. Okay, I just want to now, one last thing on this pasuk, and I want to share with you the Sefornu's comment on this pasuk of V'hoya Ekev Tishma'un. The Sefornu starts off V'hoya Ekev Tishma'un to mean, again, he explains the word Ekev as because, but he doesn't learn the he doesn't translate the pasuk as saying V'hoya Ekev Tishma'un, and a reward for your listening, a result for your listening will be. If you listen to my mitzvahs and you guard them and you do them, then Hashem will reciprocate and guard for you the kindness. But rather, Vayekev Tishmun means, and it will be because you will listen that Hashem will follow His covenant, will keep His covenant and His kindness. Means to say, the reason why Hashem has given us the mitzvahs to do is so that He will guard the kindness and the covenant that He made with our forefathers. The kindness and the covenant is not to be seen as a result of the mitzvahs, but rather the mitzvahs are a result of the kindness and the covenant. Because Hashem wants to give us that good that He promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, therefore we have these mitzvahs to listen to. And that's what Avaya Ekev Tishmas Mishpatim Eila shall be, because you're listening to this mitzvah, or Vaya Ekev Tishma, I have to really say it better. Vaya Ekev Tishma, and it shall be, he says like this, Hine Amelach Tzibas Kol Eila Kedei Shetisku Shishma Lecham Rizpa Chesed. Okay, the king has commanded to do these mitzvahs so that you should merit to get the kindness and the covenant. Va'ekev tishman, and it shall be a reward, a result of your listening, will be the guarding of the kindness and the covenant. That will be the result, that will be the reward, because actually it's not the reward. The purpose of giving all these mitzvahs is because Hashem wants to give us the bris and the chesed, the kindness, and keep the covenant that He gave us. Now, Sefornu also adds here, Vayayekev Tishmu'un is actually, if you listen. So the Sefornu says, listening here doesn't mean just a general observance. It means specifically listening to Hashem out of love. And it's actually a continuation from, again, the last pasuk in last week's parsha, where we read, V'shamartu es ha-mitzvah v'sachukim v'samishpatim, asher anoich mitzavach ha-yoyim la'asoysam. You shall guard the mitzvah, the chukim and the mishpatim, I command you, ha-yoyim la'asoysam, today to do them. Don't read it as, I command you today to do them, but I command you today to do them. Which as the Furnu says means, don't be focused on getting the reward. Today you do. The reward comes later. Don't focus on getting the reward right away. Hayom la'asoysem, I'm commanding you today to do them. Doing today, now, is for doing. The reward comes at a different time. Which means that the focus of our performance of mitzvah should not be the reward that we can get now, but rather the focus should be doing the mitzvahs out of loving Hashem. And therefore, Ya'ekev Tishmu'un, when you will, when you will listen. Listen here means, says Sefornu, that you will do it out of love of Hashem and not for the purpose of receiving reward. Okay? So that's the first part of the pasuk. And it shall be that the Asher Tishmu'un, that the reason for your listening to Mishpatim is that Hashem will guard the covenant. What does it mean, Ushmartim? Vayayikav Tishmu'un, and it shall be when you will listen, which the Sforno says means, listening means observing mitzvahs out of love of Hashem. Ushamartim, and you shall guard. What does guarding mean? How do you guard? Says the Sforno, Ushamartim, Zu Mishnah. That means learning. When the Torah says, Ushamartim, you shall guard, guard means you learn. You observe out of love, but you got to learn. You have to be involved in the learning of the mitzvahs. And when you will now do the mitzvahs out of love and you'll learn, then va'asisa ma'isam. It doesn't mean and you will do it, but it means then what you're doing will really be done. Va'asisa ma'isam is not a command, as Sefornu says. It's not a command. It's not saying do it. It's not giving you a list of things. Listen, guard, do. And if you do these three things, you'll get the reward. Vasisem Oisam is actually not what you should do, but it's really a result. And it means to say, if you will observe out of love, and you will shmart them, you will guard, means you will learn, Vasisem Oisam, then you shall truly do them. Then your performance of the mitzvahs will be a true act, will be a complete act. Then, Hashem will guard for you the bris, the covenant. Which covenant? Which covenant are we talking about? Says the Sefornu, we're speaking about the following covenant. Hashem said to Avram Avinu, V'nasati esprisi b'iniu v'necha u'bein zaracha acharecha v'doi reisam. I shall create a covenant, I shall make a covenant between me and between you, and between your children after you for all generations. Lebris olam, an eternal covenant. L'yois locha le'elokim, to be for you, Elokim, to be for you as a God. U'bezaracha acharecha, and for your children after you. Says the Sefornu that when it says to be, it talks about an eternal covenant to be for you as a God, it means like this. That when Hashem, now again, this is a concept that's not so easy for us to understand, but it means, he says, if Hashem gives us something, if Hashem showers bracha upon us, and he does it directly from him without a medium, without a middleman, then that which he showers upon us directly from him is eternal. It's eternal. If it comes straight from Hashem, it's la'olam, it's eternal. If it comes through a medium, if there's something, there's some kind of a go-between that brings us that brings upon us a blessing, then it's temporary. So when Hashem said to Abraham, I will make an eternal covenant to be for you as a God, means that my covenant with you is that I will be for you as Elohim. That means I will directly shower blessing upon you, and that blessing is eternal. Which means, basically, that this, according to the Sefornu, the covenant with Abraham was what we refer to as Olam Haba, the world to come, the eternal world. Hashem says to Abraham, my covenant with you is a covenant that I will give you eternity. I will shower upon you blessing, I will give you eternity. That's the bris, that's the covenant. That's hachesed, what's the kindness? Says Sefornu, ka'amrei oz v'nasati l'chol ha'zarecha ha'charecha sa'aretz migurecha. The promise of giving him and his descendants Eretz Yisrael, that's called chesed, that's called kindness. Ki amnam ha'tayv ahu latzadikim b'ilam hazehu chesed b'lvad. The good that the righteous receive in this world is only a kindness, lo'i gemul ma'aseyim. It is not the payment, the reward for their actions. The Gemara in Kedushin says, sechar mitzvah b'hai al malekah. There is no reward for mitzvahs in this world. What comes as a result for our actions, which we know from many commentaries is also described as a kindness because Hashem doesn't owe us anything. But the bottom line is that we know that Hashem tells us there is reward for the fulfillment of his mitzvahs. The reward, the payment that we get for the actions that we, the mitzvahs that we do, they are, that does not come in this world. That comes in Olam Haba. That's the eternal, that's the covenant of eternity that was promised to Abraham. The chesed, the kindness, the extra thing, you know, that a father gives his son a reward for doing something, right? The son's supposed to do it, he's obligated to do it. You should give him a little reward, you give him a little extra. That's what he means by chesed, it's kindness. It's Hashem giving us more than what we're supposed to just be getting for the actions, because what we get for actions is an Olam Haba. What we get now in this world is fringe benefits. And that's called chesed. So the bris, the covenant that the Sefornu says is being mentioned here, that's the covenant to Abraham that Hashem will directly shower his blessing upon us, and that has to be eternal. Because whatever comes directly from Hashem is eternal. That's the covenant. The kindness is Eretz Yisrael. Because anything we get in this world is a kindness. It's extra. It's not the reward, it's not the payment for our mitzvahs, not the reward for our mitzvahs, because as the Gemara says, reward for our mitzvahs only comes in the next world, not in this world.